I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, growing and shrinking. New census figures tell us which cities are now bulging at the seams and which have room to spare. But first, we want to talk about health care. The national debate over our country's health care system is front and center again. Michael Moore's new film, Sicko, which opened last week, is putting a spotlight on the failings of the system, and the presidential candidates are talking about the issue on the stump. But amid all the debate about the system, Massachusetts is trying something new. It's the first state to require people to get health insurance and says it will penalize them if they do not. The new law went into effect on Sunday. Joining me now is Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Judy Ann Bigby. She joins us on the phone now from Warren, Vermont. Madam Secretary, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, it seems harsh on its face. Get insurance or else. But I take it people in Massachusetts don't see it that way?
Well, I think the mandate for individuals to purchase or get insurance in some other way just acknowledges that we've done a lot to try to make health insurance more available to people. And, you know, we believe that people will find out that it's better to have insurance than not to have it.
So the law doesn't replace traditional employer-sponsored health care plans. Right?
It does not.
And it doesn't replace Medicaid and Medicare. So is that right?
That's correct.
So it's for people who kind of fall between the gaps. Who are the people who fall between the gaps? Is it mainly younger people just starting out, or who is it?
Well, there are a couple of populations. Younger people who may actually be offered employer-based insurance and choose not to take it up. There might be lower wage workers who are offered employer-based insurance and feel like they can't afford to take it up. And there may be a group of working people who do not have employer-based insurance available to them who are uninsured. And what the Massachusetts health care reform law has done is to put in place certain options for people that would make it more affordable for them to take up those options.
Are there people who still can't afford to pay for insurance despite everything you've put into place so far?
Yes. Yeah, so I think that that's a very good point. What the law says is that you must have insurance if there is a product out there that you can afford. And last month, the Connect a Board, which is one of the semi-governmental bodies that's helping to implement some of the aspects of healthcare reform, approved affordability standards that will be used to determine whether or not people can actually afford what is available to them.
I guess I'm still a little confused about who decides what you can afford.
Well, the Connect a Board is a body that was created by the legislature. That body defined what affordability actually means according to people's income. So it depends on what your annual income is, whether or not you're deemed as having access to an affordable package. It also depends on the hardship cases or that sort of thing.
So if you are deemed to still fall between that gap, in that gap of you still can't afford it, you make too much money for a subsidy, but you don't make enough to afford any of the plans, you won't be penalized. But that still leaves, and I think it's fair to say that the state isn't penalizing anybody yet. You're still giving people some running room to catch up and get. But what happens to those people who still are falling between the gaps? I think that's about 60,000 people, right? What's the thought about them?
Yeah, so that's an estimate that we'll see what happens. We do have what's called the uncompensated care pool or the free care pool in Massachusetts, and if people are deemed not to be able to buy an affordable product, they would still be covered by that.
Now, of course, there are obviously a lot of people I think are very excited about the idea of extending health insurance coverage to as many people as possible. But there are still some people who make libertarian arguments that this oversteps the government authority. You can, for example, avoid paying for car insurance if you choose not to have a car. But there's no way to opt out of having health insurance under this plan unless you meet one of these criteria for, say, hardship. What do you say to that?
you know, I think that this is an experiment. We're looking at various mechanisms. As I said, we know that there are groups of people who have had the opportunity to get insurance in the past and, quite frankly, could afford it, but who opted not to use it. And then everybody ends up paying when they have a terrible auto crash or some other type of illness that they show up in the emergency departments with no insurance, and everybody does end up paying in the end. So this is a more organized way of doing things. It also ensures that people get primary care and preventive care so that in the long term we can prevent things that are more costly in the end.
I'm speaking with Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Judy Ann Bigby, about a new law in Massachusetts requiring everybody to have health insurance. Dr. Bigby, how is this being paid for? Some would argue that there's no way you can not rob Peter to pay Paul because you've got to do some sort of reprogramming. So how is this being paid for?
Well, there are several ways that Massachusetts is paying for the various programs that are part of health care reform. We have Medicaid, and through working with the federal government, we have an expansion of our Medicaid program so that we're covering more people through that. We also, for employers who choose not to offer insurance, they will be assessed a fee if their workers use the health care uncompensated pool.
That fee seems pretty low to me. It seems like that's a better deal for an employer, rather to pay the fine than to pay for insurance. The fees, as I've seen them, seem a lot lower than the cost of providing insurance for employees.
Well, I think that people in Massachusetts realize that there are some compromises that were made in order to get the law passed and to keep everybody at the table on negotiating how this would work and to put the various pieces of the puzzles together.
What do you say to those who argue that the plan doesn't address the high cost of health care?
Well, we actually did implement a health care quality and cost council last fall. The council is charged with putting together recommendations or regulations or programs to both decrease the cost of health care and ensure quality. The council adopted at its last meeting goals for 2008 in terms of containing cost and maintaining quality. And I think that is a very important part of health care reform in Massachusetts, because if health care costs keep rising, we won't be able to afford it.
Do you think you can contain costs on a state-by-state basis? Do you think that's possible?
I do think it's possible. There are very specific things that the council is looking at. For example, one of the goals is to decrease and eventually eliminate hospital-acquired infections. We spend millions of dollars a year on treating people who should not be getting these infections, and there are demonstrations in the United States, for example, in Pennsylvania particularly, where institutions have been able to eliminate these infections and save millions of dollars.
How are people feeling about the program, Dr. Bigby? I know maybe you're not the best person to talk about this because you're so focused on implementation, but do you have a sense of whether, are people nervous? Are they excited? How do you feel people feel about it?
I think people are very excited. There are many, many people who have not had insurance who are ecstatic that they now have it and can afford it. We know that since October of last year, there are about 130,000 people who have insurance who did not have it before. In August, we'll get some data on what's happening to the number of uninsured in Massachusetts, and we look forward to seeing that number drop.
And, of course, the rap on these kinds of subsidized health insurance plans is that it's fine to have the plan in theory, but that you can't find a doctor who will actually accept the insurance. Have you found any complaints about that? Are people being actually able to access the insurance once they have it?
So far, we have not had complaints that doctors will not accept this type of insurance. We work very closely with several managed care organizations in the state who obviously have a group of doctors who are in their plans, and they are helping to have people make sure that they get access to care. We also work very closely with the many community health centers in Massachusetts, so we feel like people will be able to get access.
And I've been reading in the papers that some other jurisdictions are taking an interest in the approach that you've taken. I know that the city of San Francisco, for example, is trying to implement this on a citywide basis. And again, maybe you're not the right person to answer this, but I'm just wondering, why do you think nobody thought about this before?
Well, as I said, it took a lot of negotiating and political maneuvering to get people to the table. And it is a unique array of different strategies to address the uninsured rate in Massachusetts. And as I said, it's an experiment, and we all can learn from this.
Well, Dr. Judy Ann Bigby, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll come back and talk to us about how the program is going on as the implementation continues.
I would be happy to do that.
Dr. Judy Ann Bigby is Massachusetts Secretary of Health and Human Services. She joined us on the line from Warren, Vermont.